That's the overture to the musical Big River from the original Broadway cast recording. A show that had garnered quite a number of awards when it first came out. Tony Awards and for Best Musical and Best Book and Best Original Score, all the sort of things you would hope a musical would win when you first put it out. And that is the next production in the Summer Theater at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And for this portion of the program, that's what our topic is. And I have with me the executive producer. I was going to say executive producer, and I say that because, you know, John Stevens has been here quite a number of times, and it seemed that for a while, every time he showed up, he had a slightly different title.
That's very true. Yeah. I think my title's changed about 5 times in the 9 years that I've been at the Little Theater. So,
but I think this is, you know, this is about 3 times running that it stayed.
Yes.
Executive producer.
Yeah, and hopefully that's what it is going to stay, which is the executive director and the artistic producer kind of both put together into one job now. So.
So you did have both at one point?
I did have an artistic director for many years until last year was the first time that we didn't have a separate artistic director. And it was never a full-time position at the Little Theater, so it was someone who came in for a few weeks a year to do the job and work with casting. But I've been working with that for the last 7 years, doing casting as well with that person, and we just decided that it's something that I could do as well. So that's what we did. And I'm feeling really good about it, actually, this year. So,
and partly, these things are so often economically driven.
Absolutely.
At least in part. Yeah.
We were actually spending more on travel for this person, bringing them to Sullivan from New York than what their salary was. Mm-hmm. And that just got to be too expensive for us. So we decided that's what we were going to do, and I became both positions.
Which probably makes it a whole lot more work, but... Potentially a whole lot more
fun. I don't have anyone to argue with, yeah. Other than myself, which happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel like I know our audiences really well of what they're looking for in a show. I'm there every night to talk to the audience and garner their reaction to the shows and hear what they want to see coming up with things. So that really goes into how we pick our seasons.
Do you do audience surveys with that sort of question?
We do. Usually once a year we'll do some sort of audience survey. For many years it was literally something that they filled out, and we're finally moving to an online version of that they can fill out, and it tabulates everything for us. We've got a lot of great information from everything of where they're listening or where they're seeing advertisements at, so we know where to put those things to what type of shows they want to see. Do they want comedy? Do they want dance musical? Or do they want a straight play? And the straight play doesn't win out very often for our audience. They really like these musicals, and they love the big dance musicals.
I was going to ask if straight plays ever happened, because I can't remember any of the times you've been here there's been one.
There have not been, maybe 3 plays in the last 9 years that I've been here. We did one at Christmas time this last year. We did the movie A Christmas Story, the stage adaption of that, which was not a musical. And then a few years ago, we had Cindy Williams and Eddie Mecca, who were on Laverne and Shirley, and they did a show called It Had to Be You. And a very, very funny comedy, just the two of them in it. And it did okay. I think it did well because they had some notoriety themselves. But our audiences really love that music, and they love seeing our live orchestra there. At one time we did a partially tracked orchestra with some live players, and that's not what they wanted to see, and that's not what I wanted to see either. So we actually have 10 in the orchestra coming up for Big River, which is a tiny little orchestra pit, and they're crammed in there for it. But it's really what the show needs to get that with the violin and the different guitars and the banjo and harmonica and some of these things that you can't really double. There's not a certain person that can double and play multiple instruments that when they're something a little off the beaten path for musical theater.
Well, yeah, for something like Big River, you really want the color of the mm-hmm. music sort of bluegrassy country.
Oh yeah, the score is just fantastic. It was, you know, written by a country artist, Roger Miller, who wrote many, many country songs. And my dad, actually, I was talking to him, he said he remembers in the early 80s, I think it was 82 or 83, when he was on the Johnny Carson show and singing some of these songs for this musical that was going to come out, and people were just blown away. And it really brought a whole different audience to New York, to Broadway, to see shows that hadn't gone and see, because that was the same time that musicals like Cats and those big Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals were coming out. And here's this music that's all country music in a show. And the people loved it. And it is beautiful, amazing music.
When did it come out? I'm actually looking for the notes that I made for myself, and I didn't write it down.
I think it was like 82 or 83 that it originally came out on Broadway.
So that means almost 100 years after Mark Twain's novel.
Yes.
Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Have you read that?
I have read that.
I was trying to remember if I have or not. I know I read Tom Sawyer. At least I think I read Tom Sawyer.
Well, we read Tom Sawyer when I was in school, but Huck Finn I read as we were planning on doing this show, and because I had not read it before. And I had never seen the musical. I knew the music very well from the show, but had not ever seen the musical. And it really follows it pretty well. These guys are just such caricatures, really, of young boys, you know, doing things, getting into trouble, and it's so much fun to see their adventures and what happens. But they really have so much heart, too, and truly care for the other human beings in the show.
There's a song towards the beginning, I assume it's towards the beginning. It certainly shows up towards the beginning of the recording from the Broadway cast that I assume is like an introduction of the...
Muddy Water?
I'm thinking of I, Huckleberry.
Oh, I, Huckleberry, yes, that is...
Of his character.
It's the second big song in the show. He is talking about how he's just going to kind of run away and do his thing. And if it was all up to him, this is how it would be.
Let's give a listen. It's from Big River, which opens at the Little Theater in Sullivan on Wednesday.
Yes.
I, Huckleberry, mate, somewhere sitting underneath some tree, somewhere, maybe fishing. Or maybe someplace sitting just wishing I was fishing. Oh, I, Huckleberry me, do hereby declare myself to be nothing ever other than exactly what I am. And I'll never change for no one, no matter what they say. If I want to smoke in church, I'll smoke. If I wanna pray, I'll pray. Oh, I, Huckleberry me, do hereby declare myself to be nothing ever other than exactly what I am. For no one, no matter what they say. If I want to go to school, I'll go. If I wanna stay away, I'll stay away. Huckleberry me, do hereby declare myself to be nothing ever other than exactly what I am. Nothing ever other than exactly what I am.
Daniel Jenkins in the role of Huckleberry Finn from Big River, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, a musical with a book by William Hauptman and music and lyrics by Roger Miller, a guy who I just always associate with that song, King of the Road, from way back when. I'm not been the biggest follower of country music, and so I haven't even known if he still does anything other than write?
I don't think that he does anymore. I haven't heard any thing out of Roger Miller in a long time, actually.
Of course, this has now been, what, almost 30
years? 30 years,
yeah. Wow, that musical's been out.
Yeah. And I don't think it's made a comeback. I've heard rumblings that it may be making a return to Broadway in the next year or so, which I would love to see because I think it's just a truly fantastic show.
Well, at the time that it came out, it was one of the few American musicals that had any success. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned Cats. Was that was one of the big British ones?
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And a bunch of other British
Cats
ones.
Cats and Les Mis, Phantom of the Opera, all came out within a few years there. And yeah, there weren't a lot of American written musicals.
Do you have any sense or any feeling from your own following of musical theater? What's happened to the American musical?
I think the American musical seems to be making a comeback right now. There's some fantastic shows that were in the Tonys this year, but so few of them are original scripts anymore. They're based off of a movie. That seems to be the trend with things right now. At least those are the ones that are making any things. It's our American audiences seem a little fickle at times with musical theater. They want to know what it's about before going to it. Mm. And so those are the shows that seem to do well that have some tie to a movie or something famous as a, you know, a book or something that isn't original. And also the jukebox musicals seem to be doing pretty well as well, which is a musical that is based around songs that were popular songs. So,
for example,
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, okay. It was the last one, which was based off of a movie, and all of the songs in it are all popular songs from the 80s. Things like Smokey Joe's Cafe, which has been a few years since that's been out, probably 15 years since that originally came out. But, you know, people knew all the music from the show, so they could leave the show singing tunes that they already knew. Same thing with All Shook Up, which is all the music of Elvis Presley. There are a lot of those shows that are kind of basing themselves around one particular artist and doing really well. Right now, the big one in New York is Aladdin, which is based off of the Disney movie, mm-hmm. Aladdin. And they wrote some new songs for it, but it's those classic numbers that are from the movie that people know and love. And it did won a Tony for Best Featured Actor. One of our alumni is in that show. She made her Broadway debut in that and was performed on the Tony Awards. I actually texted her right after she got off stage, and she texted me right back. She's like, "You gave me my start, and now look where I'm at." And it's like, that's pretty awesome to hear that, you know, we gave her equity card. So she became a union member at the Little Theater on the Square and is now performing on Broadway, and we have another one that is on Broadway in After Midnight, which is it's more a dance musical than anything else, but it's all early 20s dancing. It's an entire black cast, and it's amazing dancing, and they've had Patti LaBelle in it and some different big feature stars in it, and this is his second Broadway show that he's been in, C.K. Edwards, and he performed on the Tonys as well. I had three that performed on the Tonys.
Wow.
In Beautiful, the Carole King musical, another young lady, Alicia Delarue, performed on that. So it's like, it was pretty cool to be able to watch the Tonys and see people who've worked for me in the past 3 years on stage there.
Which raises the question, how do you find your actors? If you sort of got them either the equity card, which is the union card, meaning that this was their first professional show?
Not necessarily their first professional show, but their first professional show with an Actors Equity affiliated theater. So working with other union professionals. All of our people are not union members, but once they start working here, they earn equity membership points. So for every week that they work at an equity theater, they get 1 point. And once you get 50 points, you can choose to join the union. And then once you join the union, you have to go under a union contract from then on. You can't work at a non-equity theater after that without, breaking your union rules.
And the advantage to the actor is?
They get retirement. They get health care. better healthcare than what I have. the equity healthcare is fantastic. We pay a lot for it for them, but it's worth the actors that we're getting, because I'm really happy with the choices that we make for our equity actors that we bring in. They're people who have worked very hard in the business and have done things from tours to Broadway to other big regional theaters. And they're not just coming to Sullivan just to be an actor. They're coming really knowing that they're working with other young actors, young aspiring actors, hopefully, and really being inspiring to them, teaching them along the way.
So do you, are most of the actors who play at the Little Theater folks who are still aspiring to get to Broadway?
I would say most of them. We usually do two or three equity contracts per show, and 42nd Street had 25 in it. So I had a young girl who's been going through our dance and drama program since she was three. She's 15, and she made her main stage debut in this show, and she's a fantastic tap dancer, and she fit right in, and you couldn't tell that she was any different than the 22-year-olds that were in the show. A little makeup and wig goes a long way. But, other actors who won, our Huckleberry Finn, he did the national tour of Elf, the musical, last year. And we'll be going back out on it again this year. And he didn't have anything going right now, and it worked out very well for us. His first professional gig was with us. He did our educational touring program going around to elementary schools throughout the state. And now he's done the Beauty and the Beast tour as LeFou and did Elf the tour and has really done very well for himself.
Do you, are there ways for you as an executive producer to discover actors, who's doing what where and who might be really desirable for a particular show, or do you typically put out a call and people come to audition?
A little bit of both. We do a local call in Sullivan, and we do a Chicago call for a couple of days. We do the Midwest Theater Auditions, which is held in St. Louis over 3 days, which is mostly college students coming in from all over the Midwest to audition in front of about 30 different theaters at one time. And then we do occasionally a call in New York as well. But I have a lot of the directors that I hire work many, many other places, and they may have worked with a certain actor somewhere and said, I saw this person. He's great. Have him submit something to you. And YouTube is the friend of the producer at this point in time, because I can email them a copy of a song and say, send me a video of this tomorrow. Here's the scene that I want you to do. Get somebody to read it with you. And literally you'll have people that will film it with their iPhone in front of their, kitchen table or whatever. And it doesn't matter to me where they're doing it at, as long as I'm getting a good result out of it.
You get to find out what do they sound like? What do they act like?
Can they hit presence? These notes in the song? How are they going to portray this character? And a lot of times I'll tell them to, try to, costume yourself the way that you think this character would be if it was a real person. Do something to change yourself, so it's not that I'm just seeing, whoever that person is. I want to see the character of it.
I imagine if you could sell yourself, if you could sell yourself via YouTube, that's probably a good sign.
Yeah,
that you can sell yourself across the stage.
Absolutely, and it saves the actor hundreds and hundreds of dollars a year that they're not flying to New York or flying here or flying wherever to do auditions, that they're able to do these submissions. And, we get a lot of submissions right now, and that's takes a lot of time to sit and watch those as well. But I think it's worth it in the end.
And I imagine you probably get some unsolicited.
Oh, most definitely. Yes.
Is that how they mostly come?
I would say more of them come unsolicited than the ones that we're actually asking for. And we go through them because you never know what you're going to find.
Well, and do you have any recollection of any of those three people you just saw on the Tonys? Were any of them, any that found you before you found them?
No, they all came to an audition somewhere or other. Two of the three of them in St. Louis at Midwest Theater Auditions and one in Chicago.
And you probably keep track of these pretty well in your mind. And particularly the ones who are better.
Yes.
Yeah, you retain these sort of things. My guest is John Stevens, who's executive producer at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. They actually started their summer season earlier in June, with 42nd Street, and that closed, what, yesterday?
Yeah.
And then the next show, Big River, opens on Wednesday, runs through the 29th. Then they'll do Little Shop of Horrors, first half of July, and The Sound of Music, the second half of July. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Programs on WYLL today are made possible with the support of the Friends of WYLL, and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly, and if you didn't happen to be listening on Friday when I mentioned this for the first time, I'll be mentioning this as the week progresses. This is actually my last week at WILL, and therefore my last week hosting Live and Local, and therefore also the last week that Live and Local will be a show per se. Starting a week from today, we'll be airing classical music during the 4 o'clock hour weekdays, and the station hopes to bring back, if not Live and Local in name, at least some sort of program that will connect listeners to the arts somehow or another. But for now, this is the last week that I'll be with you in this time slot on this program in this community. And so we'll see what happens after that. I'm leaving the community, which is why that's happening. Nobody gave me the boot, because inevitably when somebody makes an announcement like that, somebody has that question or makes that assumption. And so some of the folks are going to be on this week. I've been on the show a number of times. That's partly by design, partly by accident. And John's one of those.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be on again.
Yeah, I don't know how many times it's been, but it's been...
Oh, gosh, probably, I would say 40 or 50 times.
I don't think so.
Oh, I would...
40 or 50... That can't be. Did you say 40 or 50?
If I'm producing 9 shows a year and I'm on every show, almost.
Really? That can't be right. I'm going to have to go back and count.
I would say at least that.
Wow. Okay. Well, John does a lot of publicity for a lot of...
I do.
He travels around a lot. And I know later in the week I'll be talking with Chester Always, who's music director of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. He may still hold the record for a number of appearances. I sort of feel like... I know I had talked at one point about putting little tick marks on the wall every time Chet came in, because they do have a great product, and I know they've got a show coming up this weekend. In any event, pleased to have you back. And this is a show, Big River is a show that I haven't seen either. As I was sort of surveying some of the music, it seemed to me to be an awful lot of fun.
It really is. It's really a little heavier than what I had thought it was going to be, but has a lot of really cute, fun things in it, too. It's not a big dancey show. There are a few dance numbers in it, but nothing big and flashy and showy. It's really just about Huck Finn and the trouble that he can get into.
When you say it's a little heavier than you thought, what do you mean?
There's some heavy themes with the slavery, some alcoholism from his father, dealing with that, and death. And there's lots of real themes in it that come to life in the show. And some of them are, you know, laughed off, and some of them are taken really seriously. And freedom being one of them with the slavery.
So the slave in this case is Jim, who's Huck Finn's good buddy, and do they travel around together basically during the duration of the show?
Yes, they go down the mighty Mississippi River and travel downwards. What they think they're going to is just to Cairo, Illinois, and end up much farther away than that.
So this is the song Muddy Water, which yes. I imagine
as
covers
they
that territory.
Take off on the raft.
Jim, get up! They're after us. We ain't got a minute to lose.
I ain't got all the provisions aboard yet.
Forget that! Just shove her out. Now lay into that pole, Jim.
Look out for me, oh muddy water. Your mysteries are deep and wide. And I got a need for going someplace. And I got a need to climb upon your back and ride. You can look for me when you see me coming. I may be running, I don't know. I may be tired and a running fever. But I'll be headed south to the mouth of the Ohio. So look out for me, oh muddy water. Your mysteries are deep and wide, and I got a need for going someplace, and I got a need to climb upon your back and ride. Well, I've been down to the pain and sorrow of no tomorrow's coming in, but I put my pole to the river bottom, and I got to hide someplace to find myself again. So look out for me, oh muddy water. Your mysteries are deep and wide, and I got a need for going someplace, and I got a need to climb upon your back and ride. Look out for me,
look out for me,
oh muddy water.
Oh, muddy water.
Your mysteries are deep and wide, and I got a need,
I got a need
for going someplace,
for going someplace,
and I got a need to climb upon your back and ride. Look out for me, oh muddy water.
From the original Broadway cast of Big River, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, it's Daniel Jenkins as Huck and Carol Dennis as Jim here on Live and Local. The song's called Muddy Water, and that's the one song I think I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I'd heard in another kind of a musical review once that I was part of, and we had a couple guys do that.
It's such a fun song, I think, and just the hearing the different voices from the, you know, very gospel sounds you get out of Jim with this, and some of the slaves in the show, to the just young youthful things that you hear out of Huck and the boys in the show, and kind of that gospel versus the bluegrass stuff that you've got going kind of through things, and then some very just kind of fun musical theater silly things as well. That King and Duke, two of the characters in the show, do, that are just kind of hokey, really, but kind of just give that comic relief of the show that's really fun.
Remind me who King and Duke are?
King and Duke are two escaped convicts. They escape jail, and they kind of hitchhike on the raft with Jim and Huck down the river and convince them that they're not runaway convicts. They're, one of them's a duke and the other one's a king, you know, the long lost king of France's son. Mm-hmm. And so one's an actor and one's just a really truly a convict, and that's their shtick, to try and make some money, and they're gonna see what they can do to sell off Jim and make some money with that and steal money any way that they can.
What's the age of these boys? Do you have a sense of that?
I would say Tom and Huck are probably young teenagers, you know, 12, 13 years old. You know, in our show, they're portrayed by 22-year-olds.
Well, that was going to be my question.
Yeah.
How are they?
We don't play them, dumb them down too young. You know, probably... Yeah, 13, 14 years old, I would say, is what they are, and still getting into trouble. They're still school-age kids who don't want to go to school. They have better things to do, like fish or smoke a pipe or things like that, anything that they could do to get out of going to school.
Are those roles typically played by adults also on...
Usually by young adults, yeah.
They're
pretty... meaty roles, really. There's quite a huge vocal range for Huck Finn's part, as well as acting-wise. He hardly ever leaves the stage. It's truly just centers around him.
Hence, The Adventures of Huckleberry
Absolutely.
Finn. What are some of the other adventures that happen?
Well, you've got, he meets Mary Jane, which is a young lady whose father has passed away when they're going down the river, and he kind of, that's his first girl crush that he's got, and she's just a young girl who now has to take care of her two younger sisters, And she is very nice to him, and he's helps her out along the way to make sure that King and Duke aren't taking money from her and doing her wrong. And so that's his first crush, I think.
And I assume there's an occasion for a love song in there.
Oh, well, there's, not it's really. Not really a love song so much between the two of them. It's she sings a song to her father, who has passed away, that's could be a classic country love song, but it's really in this show, it's she's singing it about that she's going to miss her father.
That might be the one I was thinking of and just made an assumption of.
Yeah, it very much sounds like a love song.
Does Tom Sawyer show up in this?
Tom Sawyer is really in it at the beginning with all the boys, and you know he's building his gang of Tom Sawyer's gang of boys, and they're a murderous bunch of boys, and they're going to go out and rob a stagecoach. And they say, you know, what's going to happen if we have some women along the way? Well, we're not going to hurt them. We're going to take them back to the cave, and we're going to be as civilized and polite to them as possible. You know, he gets all of his information from almost like comic books from the time of you know, how you rob a stagecoach and things like that. And then he comes back again in the second act when Huck is trying to get Jim back, and he ends up at Tom's aunt and uncle's house, and he pretends to be Tom. And they haven't seen Tom since he was a baby, so they don't know any difference. And, you know, it gets pretty mixed up in the end, and of course it comes out that he's not Tom Sawyer, he's Huckleberry Finn. But yeah, they play off of each other pretty well.
What if? Well, I guess you don't know because you haven't had the show hasn't opened yet. I was going to say, what have audience reactions been so far? Have you been involved in the production of this show before?
I have not.
That's right. You said you didn't know the show,
but it's you know, we have four black actors in the show because there are slaves in the show. It's extremely moving for not only them, but the entire cast. But I see where, you know, there's a portion of the show where they walk across the stage in shackles and chains. And it's like that's so awful to see that happen. And, you know, some of these things are really true to life. Some of the language in it, what they call the slaves, would be considered offensive now. But at that time period, that was what it was done. And it kills me to hear that in the show. And we really struggled with, are we going to really stick to the language of the book here? And we did, because I think it is historically accurate to move things along. And it really sets how they treat these slaves.
Does that limit or enhance the family-friendly nature of the show?
It limits it a little bit because that's the only language that there really is in the show is a derogatory name calling. But I would say overall, if you can look beyond that it still is very family-friendly. And, you know, that's some of the books that our children are reading in schools as well still for 100-plus years now.
Except for those school districts that have banned
One. Yes.
I think this is the one, isn't it? Of the two, meaning Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, this is the one for some reason, or that I can't fathom. We're talking about Big River, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, of course, based on the novel by Mark Twain. And there's never been a musical about Tom Sawyer that I know.
Not that I know of, no.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised somebody hasn't done it.
Yeah.
Unless for some reason they don't, I don't know, they don't hear the songs happening.
I've not heard anyone try that one out.
You never know. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. What's the best way to get tickets, John?
You can go to our website, thelittletheater.org, or from 9 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, you can call the box office at 728-7375.
728-7375. Yep. 217 area.
Absolutely.
And, of course, if you don't remember that, just go to thelittletheater.org.
Yep.
And all that info is there. The show does have sort of a mix of times. Wednesdays are 2 and 8, Thursdays are at 8, Fridays at 8, Saturday at 4 and 8, Sunday at 2, and Tuesday at 8. Mm-hmm. Did I get that covered?
You got that correct.
So the way to find it on the website is just go to the ordering tickets page.
Yes, go to buy tickets now. Yeah,
and order for a specific show, and then up pops all of the
And you can pick
options.
Your seat, whichever seats you would like to sit in, and print the tickets out at home even.
And it's a pretty small theater, so.
Yep, 418 seats, and not really a bad seat in the house.
Yeah, they're all great. Small, it's an intimate and really enjoyable place to see theater. I've certainly enjoyed it when I had the chance to go. And you can get tickets for Big River. You can get tickets for the next show, which is
A Little Shop of Horrors, Sound of Music, and Legally Blonde still coming your way this year.
Oh, did I miss Legally Blonde?
Yeah, that one's in August.
Oh, I somehow didn't print that out on my list. Somehow.
No worries.
That's okay. Well, as we said, it's all up on the website. John Stevens is executive producer of For the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. And as always, pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
We're going to go out with one of those that addresses the issue of slavery. It's called Free at Last. Mm-hmm. Anything worth saying leading up to this?
In watching the final dress rehearsal yesterday for this, before we move into the theater, Jim is the only one on stage singing this. He's been locked up in a shed, and he's just wanting to be free and done with the slavery. And the entire rest of the cast sings off stage in the show. They were all sobbing off stage singing this. It's that moving of a song. And that happened probably 3 or 4 times during the show, that the cast itself was moved to tears by some of the themes and the music in the show.
Which is all the more suggests that it's all the more powerful because, of course, the cast does it over and over and over again. And you'd think they'd get numbed to that sort of reaction.
Not yet. I mean, they've only been at it for 2 weeks of rehearsal, but still. We'll hope they don't get numbed in the next 2 weeks.
Well, but that suggests that the audience should be in for a treat.
I hope so, yes.
Once again, it's from the original Broadway cast. This is Carol Dennis in the role of Jim on Live and Local.
I wish, by golly, I could spread my wings and fly and let this grounded soul be free for just a little while, to be like eagles when they ride upon the wind and taste the sweetest taste of freedom for my soul. That I'd be free at last, free at last. Great God Almighty, I'd be free at last. To let my feelings lie where harm cannot come by and hurt this always hurting heart that needs to rest a while. I wish, by golly, I could spread my wings and fly and taste the sweetest taste of freedom for my soul. Then I'd be free at last, free at last. Great God Almighty, I'd be free at last. I'd be free at last. I'd be free at last. Great God Almighty, I'd be free at last. I'd be free at last. Oh Lord, I'd be free at last. I'd be free at last. I'd be free at last. Great God Almighty, I'd be free. I'd be free.
From Big River, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, with music and lyrics by Roger Miller. It's based on Mark Twain's novel from 1884. And the show, a Tony Award winner in multiple categories in the mid-1980s. It's the next production, opening Wednesday at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, Illinois. Here are some other events you can see and hear live in our listening area over the next few days. As always, on Monday nights at the Rose Bowl Tavern in downtown Urbana, it's the Monday Night Hootenanny. Starts at 8 o'clock, continues for a number of hours, partly depends on how many people turn up to play. They always have an open mic opportunity. Donnie Heitler plays jazz piano at Minnecci's at the Crossing in Champaign. That's this evening at 6 o'clock. Selwyn Birchwood played the blues at the Alamo in Springfield tonight at 8 o'clock. And it's the Decatur Municipal Band, its weekly concert at Central Park in Decatur this evening at 7 o'clock. Ray LaMontagne is at the Peoria Civic Center in Peoria, of course, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Mary Blazier is at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester tomorrow night at 7. And at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, tomorrow evening at 5, it's JQ with Ray Sasaki, JQ Jazz Quintet is what that means. And then at 7 o'clock, the Parkland Early Jazz Ensemble. Again, both of those at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening. Wednesday, the Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana continues its performances of the Stephen Sondheim Review, Putting It Together. That's Wednesday at 8, and that runs through Saturday. The Gunny Sack Review is a weekly event at the Yoder Center in Arthur, Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. And also weekly on Wednesdays, the Traditional Irish Music Session at Dublin O'Neill's in downtown Champaign. That'll be Wednesday night at 8:30. Sort of staying with the Mississippi theme, this is from a disc called Riverboat Soul, by a group called Pokey LaFarge and the South City Three, who have been making quite a big splash over the last couple of years. This tune is called Hard Times Come and Go.
Just like Cain and Abel, hard times come and go, so we're told. You took my money, left pennies on table, hard times come and go, so we're told. There's a snake in the grass, there and out in the trees, and I swooped out upon it, and I bring it down to your knees. I recall these words I was told. Hard times come, hard times go. But now they're harder than they've ever been before, I don't know. I can take him anymore. We were partners, just like Bonnie and Clyde. Hard times come and go, so we're told. Till I turned around and you was not by my side. Hard times come and go, so we're told. There's a snake in the grass, there's an owl in the trees, and I swooped out upon it, and I bring it down to your knees. I recall these words I was told. Hard times come, hard times go. But now they're harder than they've ever been before. I don't know if I can take them anymore. Whoa, whoa. Thank you. and I swooped down upon it. Now we're down to your knees. I recall these words I was told. Hard times come, hard times go, and now they're harder than they ever been before. I don't know if I can take them anymore. Oh, 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 oh,
goodbye, Joe, me gotta go, me oh my oh. Me gotta go, pull the pirogue down the bayou. When my Teton, the sweetest one, me oh my oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Jungle line, crawfish pie, filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see my little shed of me oh. We're gonna pick guitar, a filter jar, and me gay oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
Wade Benson Landry, who is, I think, a fixture at Branson, Illinois, and has been in our listening area on a number of occasions. That was his rendition of Jambalaya here on Live and Local. Before that, a St. Louis-based band called Pokey Lafarge and the South City Three from their CD Riverboat Soul, and it was his tune Hard Times Come and Go. On Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Appreciate you joining us today. And inspired by Huckleberry Finn and Big River that we were talking about for most of the show, I thought we'd sort of stick with some river tunes, at least see if I can carry it through to the end of the program. This comes from a New Orleans-based group called the March 4th Marching Band, and 4th spelled F-O-U-R-T-H, their CD called Rise Up, in part because some of the proceeds for the album were donated to New Orleans at the time of not long after one of the flooding events. This tune by Benjamin Morrison is called Wet Nap.
We'll be right back.
Wet Nap is the name of that tune by the March 4th Marching Band from their CD Rise Up, a New Orleans-based group, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, back with you tomorrow at 4 o'clock for another show, and then also on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And that will be it. This is my last week at WILL, last week producing the show, and last week for Live and Local, at least in its present incarnation. The station is still evaluating what to do with the program, which is to say there might be another Live and Local at some point. There might be another show somewhat like it, but they are committed or saying so that to having another program that is arts-related on WILL-FM. But as of a week from tomorrow, for some period of time, you'll be listening to classical music in the 4 o'clock time slot, 4 o'clock hour on the weekdays. I'll be leaving the community and hence the station. It's been a great run, 18 years here at WILL and 5.5 now hosting Live and Local after having done most of my time here as a classical music host, both on the afternoon drive time, as they like to call it, and also the morning drive. And now, then was midday for a while, and now back at the afternoon drive time. Stay tuned next for All Things Considered from NPR. You're listening to 90.9 WILL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It'll be partly sunny. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows around 70. Current temperature is 86 degrees. It's 5 o'clock.